Gloria, thank you very much for joining us today. And my question is, maybe you, first question is, maybe you will give us an idea of your geographic background. So you were born in the United Kingdom, and what happened after that?
I began in the United Kingdom when my mom and dad got together during the war. He was based there with the B-17 Bomber Squadron, the 38th Bomber Squadron in the Army Air Corps. That was before it was the Air Force. He was in ROTC in high school and got immediately into the Army and sent to England to be in the war. The little village my mom grew up in, Newbury, Berkshire, asked all the single ladies in town to come to do a dance and dance with the Yanks. You know, in those days they called them the Yanks. So the men all lined up on one side of the room, two or three rows, and the other ladies on the other side of the rows. And the commentator said, "Gentlemen, pick your lady." Well, my father had already seen my mom in the last row. So he went through all two rows to get to her. And every row he came to, the girl went, "Oh, not me." And the next row, "Oh, not me." And he got to my mom. They were married over there in the lovely St. Nicholas Church. And he was, after 34 missions, not 24, because they didn't cut it off yet. So he was a ground instructor and a crew director. And then after he got sent home, my mom was expecting me. And at night, they had to board at Liverpool or somewhere, some board, in the dark, because the U-boats were after the Queen Mary to blow her out of the water. And it was really just sending home the sick and the injured and the first shipload of war brides, which my mother was, the first shipload of war brides. They all had the first-class suites, the ladies did, and the men were down below. My mother, being pregnant and being on the Atlantic Ocean, was sick most of the time, and all she could tolerate was a dry roll. So my dad brought dry rolls to her every day to eat, because she was not, it was not a good crossing for my mother. And we lived in Louisville, Kentucky, with his family, where he grew up.
So you were born in the United States.
And we went to we were based in, I back jumped ahead of myself. He went to Miami for their second honeymoon. Their first honeymoon was in Oxford, so he got an R&R when he came home. And at that time, he was based at Maxwell Air Force Base in Montgomery, Alabama, where I was born. So that was where I was born.
On the airbase.
Yeah, it was an air base
Okay.
in Montgomery, Alabama, 1 hour away from Sylacauga, where my husband had just turned 5 on April 4th, just before I was born on April 17th. And it took us 38 years to meet each other in California. So that was what got us talking. They said, "The new girl in the office is from Alabama." When we started talking about Alabama, even though I left there when I was, let's see, he got his orders for dismissal, honorable discharge, when I was 6 weeks old. So then we moved to Louisville, Kentucky, and lived with his family.
So you do not have any idea if they really speak in Alabama with that accent, like
He
Forrest
sure
Gump.
does. He does.
How he does.
He has an accent. I don't. When I was a kid, I did. And then my mother took me back on the Queen Mary when I was 2 for a visit with my family. We stayed there about 6 months. And I had a southern accent, so people would stop in the street and, oh shit, they had to listen to my American accent, you know, because I was a little kid. And then when I came back to America, I had picked up the British accent, so people were stopping my mom in the street now to hear my English accent. Because somehow in my ear, out my mouth, you know, it's just,
This is
it,
good.
pick it up really easy, the foreign
So you
language.
kind of moved back and forth.
Yes. And then when I was 5, we lived in Kentucky for 5 years. My dad got transferred with Reynolds Aluminum to California. So we moved from Louisville to Whittier, outside LA. And then when we were 9, he got transferred to the San Francisco Bay Area. So I've lived in this area now since I was 9 years old. I lived in the new development called Westlake up in Daly City. They were brand new houses on the top of a hill. We had a fabulous view, Maybe one day a year, because it's mostly foggy up there.
Maybe you remember how much was your house when you purchased that one.
Oh, let me see. I'm not on the screen anymore.
You are.
Oh, you are.
Yeah.
$147,000?
And it was 81.
83. 147, something like that. And the gentleman who owned the house worked for United. I was working out in the shop doing the books, which was part of my job, upgrading the mechanics instructions. Mm-hmm. And the foreman of the shop was the photographer at our wedding. Mm-hmm. So he asked me one day, how did the house hunting go? Well, a mechanic in the shop, who was a friend of Norm's, heard the girl in the office, who told Norm, the girl in the office is looking for a house. Mm-hmm. We'd had two real estate agents, North Bay and South Bay, for months, 9 months, looking for a house.
Mm. What's the problem?
They were too expensive.
Oh, okay.
All the houses were too, but we wanted to be near Mom, but we decided we didn't want to live in Walnut Creek and do the bridge every day to the maintenance base. Mm-hmm. So that was out. And then we started working our way down the peninsula. But when we saw Norm's house, he and I both loved country. Mm-hmm. You know, he actually grew up on a farm picking cotton.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
He went to school barefooted.
Okay.
And now he's an engineer in charge of the avionics department of the engineers at United. He worked his way up. He's got his credentials and all
that.
So they
did allow kids barefooted in school?
Yeah, they didn't have any choice.
But it's cold probably in the winter.
No, I'm not in Alabama.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's very cold in Alabama. Oh yeah. Yes. But anyway, I've gotten off track here.
Yeah. So we talked about the house.
Oh, the house. So when we came in, I knew exactly what I wanted. I had apartments, so I knew what I didn't want. I knew I wanted a sink over the window over the sink, because I washed dishes looking at a wall in one apartment. I said, that's out.
Okay.
I want to see the backyard to see my kids playing.
Okay.
I wanted vents and fans in both bathrooms, because not one of my apartments had a vent or a fan. And it's like you had got out of the shower and you needed to have another shower because you started sweating right away.
So you did have a pretty good wish list.
I knew, well, that was just the small things.
Okay.
And then Cecil wanted a two-car garage,
okay,
which we finally got a car in the garage. Let me see. We remodeled and tore apart it. As soon as we moved in, we ripped things apart. So we didn't get a car in there for about 20 years.
because I think probably cars were real big at the time.
I'm sorry?
Cars.
The size of the car.
The size.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, we had so much in there because we were putting cabinets. We did our own remodeling the first time with cabinets all over the... We slept on the floor the first night. We didn't have a bed.
Okay.
And we had these... this Phillips screwdriver, and I got an A in carpentry in college, and I loved carpentry. So I ripped all this stuff out, and we put up new cabinets with just a Phillips screwdriver. And that was our first load. We put linoleum down on the floor, which we changed many, many times. And this is about our fourth remodel, but this is our final after over 41 years. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but we really love this place. We have almost a quarter acre lot. I didn't really want that much. It had a pool. We really didn't want a pool. We finally took it out because... it kept getting, the pump kept dying. And we went to Kentucky to visit my aunt, came back, and there was algae that high on top of a pool.
Wow.
That was, we said, that's it, because we don't want to maintain it. The kids weren't here using it anymore.
Okay. Yeah.
So we had it taken out. So now we have a pile of dirt and a bunch of rocks we don't know what to do with. But
we did have a pool when we lived in Saratoga, and we used the pool maybe 6-7 times a year.
Yeah, that does justify keeping the water level up to a certain level.
No.
$55 a month for him to just take a piece of a sample and check the pH level.
Yeah, maybe even higher right now.
Yeah, more now, yes, because we took it out at least 10 years ago.
So let's go to the major subject today.
Oh, what is that?
Which is your Christmas experience.
My Christmas experience.
Yeah,
yes.
So when was your first Christmas experience you remember?
Well, I knew we lived in Kentucky till I was five.
Mm-hmm.
We lived with a family. There were three families living together because we were all one family.
Okay.
My great grandmother lived with us. They had a big house in Louisville. So I really don't remember that one. But when we came to Whittier, we had we were from Kentucky, the neighbors from Illinois, mm-hmm. and their daughter Susie, who I just talked to yesterday, so they live in Denver now, mm-hmm. in Colorado. We became like sisters, mm-hmm. and my mother and her mother became like sisters, mm-hmm. even though we just loved it, and we would spend Christmas with them. And now that I have 5 grandchildren, and I used to do Christmas Eve here.
In this house,
well, we have ham, mm-hmm. and sweet potatoes and that kind of wonderful beans and cream corn and all the sweet rolls and all the Hawaiian rolls.
The classic stuff.
All the good stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we'd exchange gifts here many, many years. But 5 years ago, I was became ill. And so my daughter took over Thanksgiving and Christmas. Mm-hmm. So she said this Thanksgiving, you know, Mom, I've been doing this 5 years now. I said, thank you. I will be 80 years old in April.
80.
Mm-hmm. Big 80. Mm-hmm. So I was very appreciative and I'm getting stronger, but I'm still not up to doing, you know, all the big dishes and the full spread. I used to have all my best china and crystal and all laid out on the tablecloth for mm-hmm. Christmas Eve with special. And then we'd go over there and open the Christmas presents with the kids.
Okay. Any memories about, I don't know, the dream of a Christmas, the promise of the Christmas, kind of good things happening, miracles?
It's a miracle that I'm here.
Okay.
Quite honestly, I almost didn't make it a few times. I had anemia twice and had to rush to the hospital immediately.
You mean recently?
In the last few years, yeah.
Wow.
So I've had a few, and I've had breast cancer, which I'm fighting. I don't mean to bring this up because this is kind of a bummer, but any day is every celebration of a day for me, mm-hmm. because I almost didn't make it. So okay. I have a whole list of medicines I'm on now. It's tough to get old.
Yeah, but from your childhood, like how your mom taught you about celebration in your family, some traditions.
They were very, very religious, and we go to church.
What is your denomination?
I think my aunt might have been a Lutheran or Methodist. Uh-huh. My mom and I are Episcopalian, Church
okay.
of England.
Okay.
So good old. You know, Henry VIII wanted to marry Anne Boleyn. And so he wanted to divorce his first wife because she was Catholic from Spain. And so there he separated from the church. So we became, you know, Church of England. Mm-hmm. And my mom and I have always gone to Church of England.
Do you still go to church sometimes?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. I've been a 20-year member of St. Andrew's Church in Saratoga. Mm-hmm. Which is over 75 years old, and I've been going there. When I retired over 20 years ago, the first thing I was going to do was get back to church, because my last year at my job, I worked 11 and a half hour days, and that was a really rough last year.
What did you do?
I worked in the office supporting the engineering department. Mm-hmm. I was a wiring diagram technician mm-hmm. at my last job. My first job at United after college, I hired on as the first female on the crew desk in 1968, scheduling stewardesses mm-hmm. for flights. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was a blast because mm-hmm. I was out looking at airplanes all day. I was at the end of Pier C. Mm-hmm. My dad was so jealous because he loves the airplanes.
At that time, in 1968. Did they really harass girls or not?
Yeah.
Really? They did?
Oh, yeah. Even more so now. I mean, then,
oh, okay.
than now. Yeah. So, but I had a wonderful view of the whole, every airplane going off. I remember when they delivered a porpoise to the Marine World Africa USA, came in a big cart. Mm-hmm. I remember looking out and people were chasing a dog running across the runway. He'd gotten loose. And they had to shut the airport down till they got the dog back in the kennel. Mm. He somehow had gotten out. Someone was shipping a dog and out. And then another day, a little biplane, not just jets take off.
So the dog was actually cargo.
It was, yeah. He was a German Shepherd mm-hmm. and he got out.
Okay.
I never forget. And then I saw a little biplane, you know, single wing plane, and the wind was so bad it flipped over in front of us.
Oh my God. And so was the people inside?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
He was getting ready to take off and he didn't turn into the wind enough and it flipped this plane over.
Wow.
So we saw a lot of things going on at the airport.
So how do they save people? Because they have it upside down in the plane.
Yeah, they have emergency people on call 24 hours a day at the airport.
So no fire, just...
It just flipped over. He was upside down going, what? But he was okay. And the dog finally got back in his kennel where he was supposed to go.
Okay. So it looks like you do not have particular memories of Miracle of Christmas or anything like...
Well, being here.
Okay.
No, but I see that you decorate so nicely your front yard each and every day. This doesn't come up each and every year.
Yeah.
It doesn't come up suddenly. So you probably did this from your childhood.
I've been working.
It was a tradition, that's what we want to hear.
Yeah.
How did you learn those traditions? Because we don't have it. We only have a Christmas tree. That's it.
Yeah. Well, we only had a palm tree in Daly City in our house, so we didn't really decorate the house. We decorated the inside. When I got down here and I moved into this is my heaven right here.
Okay.
This is my heaven. And I just added on every year.
I see.
I added on every year. And we just added the sleigh and the horse last year. I had to buy them separately. I saw them in the catalog and had to have them. And my daughter and son-in-law gave us to the tree on the table out there because we were not getting live trees anymore because we couldn't cut them down, couldn't get them up on top of the car anymore. We were too old to put it on the car.
So you would prefer the live tree?
I would prefer it, but it's not... It doesn't make sense at our age to try and lift this thing, this heavy thing on top of it.
But in your childhood, did you decorate also?
Yes.
So who did that?
I did all the decorating. I've always done the decorating of the tree. That was my privilege. And back in the old days, we used to have a lot of tinsel, the silver stuff. And I would decorate it for hours, decorate my mom and dad's tree for hours. And then I cover it with tinsel on every single branch of every single limb, to the point you couldn't see the ornaments anymore. I got a picture of that.
So what kind of ornaments did you use?
I had some of those old glass ornaments back from the 50s.
Yes.
And I recently...
My favorite one.
They're beautiful, but I finally donated them to our church resale store at church. Because we have one of those, so I passed those on to another family. And I don't use tinsel anymore. But I have the garlands, like you see out there. I have the garlands going around the trees. And I have gifts. I have an ornament that my daughter gave me of... My granddaughter is 27 today. It's her tomorrow. She's her birthday tomorrow. She gave me a picture of her on an ornament. So I have a picture of JJ when she was young. And we have other special ornaments that they've given us over the years that I'm not parting with. Because those are special family ornaments. JJ doesn't even remember that ornament. And so we have a lot of close ornaments that are going to stay with us and pass on to the family. The kids will get them. Between Marsha, I have two girls and five grandchildren. One girl and four boys.
And I was going to ask you, we see a lot of cards here you can show.
I have 60 stamps, usually.
This is also another tradition to write all this. You know, these days, I don't know anybody who writes those many cards.
These are my new ones this year.
Let me show you one.
These are my new ones this year.
60 cards.
Merry Christmas.
My sister-in-law and my sister in Alabama like the cardinal, so I sent them the cardinal card this year.
So this is also tradition in your parents' house. Did they also send those cards?
My mother, I was up to 80.
Looks like a parrot.
That's a cardinal. Yes.
Cardinal.
My sister and sister-in-law in Alabama love cardinals, so I found that cardinal. And now I have a bunch more to send to some other people, too.
Wow.
Last year I sent with the church. Little church.
It's a little church.
You know, it's a lot of effort. It's a lot of energy put in here. So you selecting the particular cards that your friends like most. And so this is a whole spirit. So what I want to show that spirit that moves people to do things.
Yes.
Because it takes a lot of
energy. What's your major motivation in doing that thing, in maintaining the tradition?
I've been doing it since I can remember.
Okay.
And my mother did it as well.
So you cannot imagine not doing this.
because we have to remember, my mother moved away from her family mm-hmm. with me on mm-hmm. the way.
How old was she at the time?
20.
Okay.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. And Dad, 22, maybe. And then we lived in Louisville with my dad's family. Mm-hmm. And when I was 5, we moved to California. So I had no family. Mm-hmm. So I use the term, I adopt people. Mm-hmm. I adopt people to, my friends are my family. Mm-hmm. So I make sure that at least once a year they hear from me. Mm-hmm. All over the country I've made friends. They moved away, but we still keep in touch.
Wow. So you stay in touch with all those people
for years.
60 people that you write those.
Yes, my girlfriend got married and moved to Philadelphia. Then she moved to Colorado.
Wow.
And she was my maid of honor at my wedding with Cecil. She came out from Colorado.
I'm thinking there was another miracle in your father noticing your mom.
Oh, yeah.
Over, you know.
Three
rows of people.
Oh, he spotted her and made a beeline for her. And then I can say that.
And she basically had no choice but marry him.
Well, he was a good dancer. Okay. His mother raised him well. She was very sophisticated, his mom. Mm-hmm. And she sent him to dance lessons. Because mm-hmm. if a man knows how to dance, that's a good way to get girls.
Oh, well. You
know, and all the girls wanted him, but my mom... Mm-hmm. I don't think they ever separated once he picked her out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then he was invited to their home for dinner, my grandmother, there wasn't much during the war, so the Victory Gardens came in very handy. Mm-hmm. Having a serving of meat once a week was about it. Mm-hmm. And my dad would help out with that when he went to visit her home. Mm-hmm.
Why just once a week?
They couldn't afford meat during the war. That's why they ate so many vegetables. My mother was 98 pounds when she married my dad. They were all very thin.
And that was in the United States?
That was in England, in Newbury, Berkshire.
They married in England, but then they moved. Mm-hmm.
Over in America, too, they had a hard time during
but
the war.
It doesn't mean that they were not meat. It's simply they didn't
They just can't
money.
Afford. So when my mother and I started going back, we would buy the meat for the family. Mm-hmm. And the butcher, oh my gosh, my first trip to the butcher, mm-hmm. downtown Newbury, mm-hmm. a little village, okay, mm-hmm. I saw a pig's head. Mm-hmm. I have to share this with you. I was 2 years old, 5 years old, and I'm looking at this this big pig, someone's going to buy it. Me. Huh? Yeah. I looked at that thing and I went, so I don't want to go in there. But that was... You know, down to earth, everything was eaten, uh-huh. regardless. Pig's feet was a delicacy.
Oh, yes.
It was a delicacy. Mm-hmm. I've got a memory. My mother's older sister was a farmer. She mm-hmm. married a farmer. He was in the army, English army in Burma.
Wow.
And he was on the death march. He was in the tank corps. And my other two uncles were in the RAF. One was in Egypt, mm-hmm. and one was on the Lancasters, which was a comparatively sized, little bigger than the B-17s. Mm-hmm. And he and his captain, the plane caught fire. And Uncle Ralph said, the captain said, everybody out, 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 jump, jump. And Uncle Ralph said, no, we're going to bring it home. Oh, wow. He stayed with the captain, mm-hmm. brought the plane home, still on fire. Mm-hmm. He was honored by the Queen of England and he's put in a special book, and when he had his funeral they did a flyby. They honored him after he died with airplanes flying over his grave. And that's my Uncle Ralph.
Wow.
And my mother introduced him to her younger sister and kept saying, I should have not done that. But that was before she met my dad. Mm-hmm. So my mother was the only one who married a Yank. Everybody else married the English. And the English boys weren't happy that the Yanks were taking all their women. Mm-hmm. I mean, no, you go.
So you do not call them Yankee. They're
Yanks.
Yanks.
In England, they were known as Yanks.
Yanks.
The Yankees.
Okay.
Yeah. The Yankees are coming, you know.
and Sas, he is also from England, or he's American?
Who? Oh, my husband?
Yes.
He was born in Sylacauga, Alabama.
But he doesn't have relatives in England.
No, he's not English.
He is American.
I'm half English and half Yank.
when you say Yankee. Yeah.
Yankee.
It's
usually the South.
What comes to my memories is Soviet television news and people marching on the streets with Yankee go home.
But that was the South, known to be Yanks. Mm-hmm. And then you have the Confederates and you have the Civil War.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, and my mother read that, a whole book of Civil War, a big long book. She was an avid reader and she was fascinated with the South. Mm-hmm. And when I first started taking my mom down there, she loved it. Mm-hmm. She loved Alabama because they were out, they were farmers. They had acres. Like I say, my husband picked cotton, and he and his sister and the whole family picked cotton. And sharecropping was big down there to make a living. And he had a brother who was in the Air Force. He was based in Alaska. And he also was during the Korean War. My husband was not in any action, so it was an inactive service of 4 years in the Air Force. But when he got out of high school, there were two jobs in Sylacauga to do. You could go work at the cotton mill, or you can go in the Air Force or Armed Forces. And so he did his four-year term. He's assigned to Japan. He went to Japan. And he met a lady there. And they got married.
Japanese lady.
In Japan.
But she was Japanese.
She was Japanese. They went to City Hall and got married. And so she came home with him, and he went back to Alabama with her. And they were there for a while, and then he was out of the Air Force by then and was looking for work and didn't want to work at the mill. So you either do that, or his father saw an ad in the paper for United Airlines was hiring. So his dad drove him to Chicago to interview, and he got the job.
Wow.
So then he and his wife moved back to California because the main base is here in up on Highway 101. You see it all the time, but it's South City. So that's where he started working in the docks. He had a degree from electronic training at a night school. He got his night school degree, and he was doing all the avionics in the cockpit. Worked his way up to management until he was ahead of 12 engineers in avionics department, and he knew everything about what's in the cockpit. My husband was really, really smart, and all of that electronic training came in handy. And then eventually they separated, and we met, and well, kismet, like they say, it was meant to be.
Absolutely. Just another question.
Yeah.
Changing the line.
Yeah.
In 1965-66, Lyndon Johnson and you know, Democrats changed the immigration policy, and so the country, which used to be pretty much black and white, became also Asian and Indian, whatever.
Mexicans, yes.
Mexicans used to be here before, I think.
Yeah, well, I think they were here long before we were here.
So, did you see, so it, basically that dramatic change in demographics happened in front of your eyes. Did you notice, or did you pay attention, or did anybody pay attention?
I was growing up in high school. We had our first black girl in our high school was all white. Our whole neighborhood was white. And then the senior, my senior year, when I graduated in 1963, we had our first black girl attending our school. And we were very nice to her. It was like, you know, we had no problems with her
because
color.
Of the segregation policies, or why?
No, the neighborhood itself was all white.
Okay.
So that's high school supported that neighborhood. And then gradually more came in, and the house was sold to Indian people and Mexican people. And in fact, our best, one of our best friends, my father, was in the 8th Air Force in Germany. And he married a German girl and brought her home from Germany. And that girl and my mother worked together in the town in Westlake at W.T. Grant's, was a store there, and they both worked together. Mm-hmm. And they bonded immediately because they were both war brides. Mm-hmm. And so that family and our family were mm-hmm. like, their kids were like my brothers and sisters. So I'm still sending cards to them.
So there was no anti-immigration sentiment among people at that time?
There might have been, but I was 18 and I was not even aware of any problems in those days.
Because nowadays it's kind of a big issue.
It should be. It should be. Yeah, because we should be all encompassing. Like the Episcopalian Church, we accept everyone at our table.
Mm-hmm. When you look, being almost 80 years old,
yes.
and having that kind of life experience.
Yeah.
And what is your take on polarization we have here in the country?
The what?
Polarization.
Country is polarized.
Democrats versus the Republicans. Because the country is in a problem.
We are in a really bad place right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't really want to talk politics.
Okay.
Because... Okay.
But it wasn't like that before.
No. We were... I won't say anything. Because things have changed drastically is all I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a really hard pill to swallow.
Yeah.
And that's the way I'm going to put it.
Yes.
All I can say is, I shouldn't even say that. We have some challenges that are going to come around.
Absolutely.
Major challenges.
Absolutely.
And I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Because I just really can't.
Yeah.
Going back to the times of Kennedy or Eisenhower.
Oh, I was Reagan. Oh, I loved Reagan. We loved Reagan. He was an actor too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was a Actors Guild president for a long time.
Yes, yeah. I know.
And he was just also in politics. We loved Reagan and Eisenhower.
Yes.
When I was a kid, Eisenhower seemed to be president for a very long time. Yes. I was growing up with his Eisenhower most of my youth.
He was three.
Yeah. Two terms.
Yeah, but it seemed like when I was a kid, there was always Eisenhower.
Mm-hmm. For a kid, 8 years is a lot.
Yeah. So it was just a quieter time.
Okay, and Kennedy, was he popular?
Kennedy?
Such a cute.
Oh my goodness.
Handsome man, huh?
Oh, that's such.
No, not really.
No, I have to. Knowing his history, mm-hmm. There's a comparison we could make today.
Mm hmm.
I think you know what I'm talking about. Females.
Yes.
Females.
Yes, we heard about this.
And that to me is not acceptable.
Lots of people now are saying it's natural. All men are like that.
I don't want to qualify men like that because my husband is not. We have been married 41 years. His eye has never wandered. My eye has never wandered. I'm in love with David. But he's a gay commentator on the news. I love him, and my girlfriend's like, we all love him. He's gay, so who cares?
Yeah,
he's a really good looking guy, and he does a good news. The news on TV, we nightly news.
Very, very, very good question.
Yeah,
like and you just say you agree or no. So my impression is that all over those years, at least we are here 30 years, and I think even for these 30 years, the total moral of the society goes down tremendously.
Moral.
Okay. From your experience, from the larger period of time, do you think that really moral goes, like people say, under the board?
Yeah. What I have to say in reaction to that is, we have the news media to credit with bringing people into the public's eye. Years ago, at least, this was taboo.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You didn't talk about it.
Exactly.
You didn't. It was not spoken about.
Yes.
It was never mentioned.
You mean personal life would never
yes.
no,
come up?
No.
Like dirt.
Yeah. You don't dig into someone's past. Politics.
Yeah.
I don't want to use the word politics, but in any environment that you're in,
mm-hmm.
The media I have to blame for opening a lot of things that people need to not be talking about in the general.
But this is okay. Immoral.
Wait. Yeah. Did this happen?
So if it is prohibited, nobody talks about this. This is one level.
Wait,
there is no limits, you can talk about everything. This is where we are.
Yeah. Right. Well, this is what I'm saying.
Did the
media has no holds, no bars. They talk about everything.
Did the change happen prior to collapse of Soviet Union or after?
Oh, it's been going on. Oh, goodness. I think Kennedy, really, because Kennedy really, some people were really shocked that he was a womanizer, I think, some of them. So maybe back in the 60s.
Public domain information.
Well, the news people took the position that get all the dirt you can. Get all the dirt you can on someone because you'll hurt them because you want to win the race.
Maybe someone wants to eat something, you know.
Yeah, so Clinton wasn't the first one.
I'm sorry?
Clinton was not the first one in that role.
I'm sorry.
Clinton.
Bill Clinton. Oh, Clinton. Oh, no. He's the peanut farmer. No, that's Carter. Carter was the peanut farmer.
Yes, exactly.
And no, Roslyn
I'm saying Clinton with Monica Lewinsky, so he was not the first one in that role.
But at least nobody has spoken about this, and now there is no borders. You can talk about everything. You can put all this dirt out, and basically, what happens as a result? So the more dirt you put out, the more people who are more or less decent do not want to go. To be involved, because it's a dirty stuff. The politics is a dirty stuff, and they don't want people to go.
People have been made aware how dirty politics really is, and how ruthless, and cutthroat,
absolutely,
to the point of people being assassinated,
absolutely,
which is unbelievable.
And where this may end, there's no end. It just goes worse and worse and worse.
Okay. There is a progression, so we are observing it. Yeah.
And we're in a really bad position right now.
Yes.
My heart goes out to everybody who has experienced that. And hopefully we can pray for things to get better.
Well, you know, there's nothing we can do about this, so we just
we can pray.
Let's do it this way. So let's thank Gloria for being a part of the conversation, and we have to wish Merry Christmas
to your family, to all your friends.
Yeah,
you're writing.
You can believe all the cars.
I was talking about our audience, actually.
Okay.
Thank you for not interrupting again. So thank you very much.
Thank you, and you're really great neighbors. Thank you for being there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.